Verses 1 and 2. And read those verses together with me. Here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Father, bless the next moments that we have together, Lord, as we begin to look at transforming truths. Lord, it's talking about life-changing passages in the Word of God that every Christian either does know or should know to really revolutionize their Christianity. And I pray that as we step through this week after week, Lord, that our lives may truly reflect more of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may bless in a marvelous and miraculous way. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now watch over us throughout this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Looking at this curriculum here, and if you look in the front of your index there, you notice the topics that are there. The first one is called Total Sacrifice Equals Total Satisfaction. How many see that there on your index? It's on page. It's not on a page. Amen. Table of contents. Amen. In the beginning here, goes down and it shows you those and the verses as well. Number one, total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. Number two, the process of transformation, and that's Romans 12, 2. And then three, the power to succeed, Philippians 4, 13. Number four, your flesh's funeral. Amen. By the way, that should be on a regular occasion. Amen. Number five, how many of y'all got a flesh?
Oh, I do.
How many of y'all knew you could raise the dead? Flesh is supposed to be crucified. We raise him up all the time. You say, well, it wasn't me that raised him. Somebody else did. Amen. And we understand that as well. Number five, the greatest promise about temptation. Number six, keeping fellowship with God. Number seven, all things for your good. Number eight, how to please God. That's where we left off last week. Number nine, the golden rule, Matthew 7, 12. 10, power to witness, Acts 1, 2 and through 8. Then 11, grace for every need, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Then the law of the harvest, Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Then 13, your path to God's guidance, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of these verses, if not all of these verses, should be familiar to most of us. Amen. And let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter number 8 in your books. Because what we did last time, we kind of looked at these verses to jog your memory on the verse itself. And if you memorized it, all right, so Hebrews, and let's go over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Is that what I said, chapter 11? Which reference is it? Hebrews, yes, Hebrews 11, 6. Hebrews 11, 6. Now, once you found your place there, I want you to hold it there and then take your book and flip your book over to the back side. And notice on the back side, Dr. Jim Shetler is the author here. He's down at Lancaster. For many years, he was out at Pensacola Christian College. And it says, the inspired word of God has the divine power to transform our lives, every word of it. Too often, however, we hear God's word and perhaps even memorize it, but we neglect to apply it to our lives. How many have been there before? Amen. I've been there before. Memorize the truth. You know the truth, but I don't use the truth. Amen. And it says, when we grab hold of a truth from God's word and apply it to the very situations in which we live, we can experience its transforming power on a personal level. In this study, we visit 13 of the most familiar passages from God's word and discover the life-changing power of these transforming truths. They list them there. And we had been going through these. How many of those, let's put it this way. Do most of those look familiar to you? Raise your hands if most of them look familiar to you, okay? How about if half of them look familiar, okay? Or you recognize a few of them. Okay, amen. How many have committed at least half of these to memory in the past sometime? Okay, amen. How many have committed all of these to memory in the past at some time? Okay. I must confess, I have committed every last one of these to memory sometime in the past. Ask me to quote them right now, and I couldn't do it. So you know what I did? I put them in my short-term memory. And if you jumpstart me and give me a couple of the verses, I can probably quote three-quarters of it. Well, that means then I'm not getting good usage of God's word. Because it's there, but if I don't know it's there, guess what? It's hard to use it. I mean, Ms. Watson, it's hard to use eggs in the refrigerator if you don't know they're there, right? Amen. They're tucked away somewhere. Or some margarine that's in the freezer and it's not in the refrigerator. And you say, I'm out of it. And so it is with God's word. These are very, very great passages to commit to memory. But then if I commit it to memory, the goal is to use it. And if I don't use it, I what? Lose it. Use it or lose it. Amen. When I was in the military, we had leave. Brother Daniel, remember that? It was use or lose. Yeah. What did that mean, use or lose leave? And you used it, or guess what? You lost it. And the days that you occurred that went over into the next year, bye-bye. You can't use them. They're gone. And so people scrambling at the last minute trying to take these days, and some guys would get up to like 100 days. You got 30 days a year. That means that they didn't go on vacation for about, 3 years. And then now all of a sudden they've got, well, you got to use this leave. And man, once you build up to a certain amount, you can't take all those leave. And so you got to do one or two things. You can, you can't sell it back. Amen. You pretty much lose it, or you fall on the mercy of your boss to kind of take it. Amen. Which normally doesn't work. Amen. And so it is with the scriptures as well. If we don't use them, we end up losing the power and the impact of it in our lives, although it still may be there. So go over to Hebrews chapter 11. That's where we're at. And again, every last one of these, I have a 3x5 card at home that I have memorized at one time or another. But again, ask me to quote some of them now, and I may give you bits and pieces of it, but I will not be able to give you the whole thing. You say, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to know all these. Have knowledge of and memorizing are two totally different things. And then utilizing that which I have memorized is a totally different thing. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 11:8. Let me get somebody to read that one for me. Who's got, Hebrews 11:6. I'm sorry. Who's got that? 11:6. Go ahead, Ben. Amen. So that's faith. And this chapter here, this lesson is called How to Please God. Now, what does that verse say about how we can please God? Have faith. Have faith. Now, what do we need to have faith in? Of course, God. But what else about God do we have to have faith in? Reward of them that diligently seek him. Now, how do we know how to seek him? His word, exactly. So then I've got to have my faith and put it in his word, and that pleases him. Now let's put it on a practical level. Brother Watson's got children. How can Walker please you when you say, take out the trash? Taking it out. He said his word, take out the trash. If Walker wants to please Brother Watson, he's got to take out the trash. If he doesn't take out the trash, has he pleased Brother Watson? No, he has just displeased Brother Watson. And Brother Watson has every right to put some kind of corrective measures on him to get him to take out the trash. Now, if he takes out the trash, he will please Brother Watson. If he doesn't take out the trash, he doesn't please Brother Watson. If he doesn't please Brother Watson, Brother Watson has to instill measures to make sure that he pleases Brother Watson. Amen. Will Walker oftentimes dislike the ways Brother Walker makes him, Brother Walker, Brother Watson, amen, makes him take out the trash? Oh, yeah. He might not like it all the time, but we know one thing. If he wants to please Brother Watson, what does he have to do? Take out the trash. Why? That was Brother Watson's word. So it is with God. God says, now, I've got some promises for you, and these promises are for your welfare, for your good. But in order to please me, you've got to do this. And so the Christian's job then is to put his faith into practice by obeying God's word. It's just that simple. We give our children commands all the time. We say, I want you to do this, 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 this. If they do it, we are great. If they don't do it, what happens? Back in the days, it was the woodshed. The woodshed, amen. You went to the woodshed, and there was some wood that was kind of dealt out. And then you said, now it's time to please Dad, amen. Yes, so how to please God. So this chapter will demonstrate to us how to please God by our faith. And notice what it says in verse number one. Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. So actually believing that it is here. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I actually believe it before it comes into play. Amen. God told Abraham to go out to a land. What did Abraham have to believe? That there was a land out there. God said, there's a land out there, Abraham. I want you to go out there to this place. Now, if I believe God, Abraham would have to get up and go out. And what should he find? Land. Now, if he doesn't find land, what does that make God? A liar. What did Abraham find? Land. Where's Israel at now? In the land. Well, most of it. Some of it, I should say. Amen. So how to please God. So that's chapter number 8. Let's go over to chapter number 9. Chapter number 9 is the golden rule. Matthew 7:12. How many are familiar with the golden rule? How many live the golden rule? Amen. Matthew 7 and verse number 12. The golden rule. All right, let me get somebody to read that. Matthew 7:12. Who's got that one? And read the golden rule. Go ahead, Natasha. So in a nutshell, what is that saying to us? What is the law and the prophets? That's pretty much the Old Testament writings. Yes. So what is Jesus saying that we should do? Treat somebody the way you would like to be treated. Yeah. Now, if people did that today, would the world be a different type of place to live in? Very different. How many of y'all want somebody to be mean to you and crabby to you when you go to the grocery store? How many want somebody to cut you off on the road, you know, roll down their window, call you all sorts of obscene names, you know, moron, you know, but, you know, bullet head and all this other stuff, and give you a finger and keep going? No, we don't want that. Somebody just did that to me the other day. I mean, I was just doing my mind and my business, didn't do anything wrong. The light was red and they're blowing a horn. I'm thinking, you want me to run the red light? And he's like, pop, pop. And then the light turned red. You know what he was doing? He was looking at the light over here that had turned red already and assumed that my light was green. So he did the countdown. All right, green, yellow, red, pop, 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 pop. I'm like, okay, the light didn't turn yet. But he's still blowing a horn like, it's red over there. I'm like, and it's red right here too. And everything in the old man that I'm not supposed to resurrect wanted to look in the mirror and go, but road rage may set in these days and folks will shoot you now. You can't do that nowadays, amen? But notice it says, therefore, how many things? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now, Jesus is speaking to his people. He said, this is the way the Christian should behave. This is an extension of the Sermon on the Mount. And so he says, this is a Christian character trait. But guess what? Everybody should do this. Everybody should. If you want to be treated nice, then treat others nice. Amen. I tell that to my children all the time. Hey, look, how you want to be treated? Then treat others the same way. So we'll look at lesson 9, which is of the golden rule. How many have ever committed one of the verses in the Gospels to memory dealing with the golden rule? Okay. Amen. By the way, this is one that I try to keep before my children. And they have had it memorized in times past. But we were trying to actually do it. Amen. All right. So that is lesson number 9. Let's go over to lesson number 10. Lesson number 10. And lesson number 10 then deals with the power to witness. That's Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So let's go over there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And by the way, do we have the power to witness?
Yes, we do, Pastor.
Yes, we do. Do we have to witness in our own power? No. What do we have to give? This is a trick question. What do we have to give in order to witness? We do have to give time. But of ourselves, what do we have to give bodily? We do have to do it. We have to give ourselves. That's what Romans 12, 1 is talking about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I have to be available to witness. So I've got to give myself to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, here, you take control, and I want you to say what needs to be said. So in essence, we don't have to witness in our own power. The Spirit of God does it through us. Guess what? We couldn't do what we wanted to. We wouldn't know what to say. We'd make somebody mad. They punch us in the nose. They may punch in the nose anyway. Amen. But the Holy Spirit knows what to say through us. And so look at Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Who's got that can read that? Jeff? Jeff's going to give it a try.
1:8. But he shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he shall be witnesses into me. And he shall be witness into me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the
Amen. Good job. Good job, Jeff. Amen. So in this lesson, we're going to find out what we have to be able to witness by the Holy Spirit's power. By the way, are we going to get nervous when it's time to go and talk to somebody? Yes, we are. Yeah. The Bible doesn't record Paul getting nervous, but I'm sure he was. Many times he talked about fear and trembling when he had to speak to people. And so we're going to have that nervousness and that fear, if you would.
Yeah.
But with that, we still have power.
That's what we do, Pastor.
By the way, is courage the absence of fear? No. It's operating in spite of fear. Courage is operating in spite. I may be afraid, but guess what? I'm going to do this. You know, you see a bully beating up on your child, and you think they might be able to beat you up. But courage says, look, I'm going to operate in spite of my fear. I'm not going to let any bully beat up on my child. And so you go out there and you confront them. Or you see someone on the street and they want to take your purse or something like that. And you say, look, I'm going to fight to keep this purse. I'm not going to let them get my purse. Amen. Now, you use wisdom as well. Amen. If there's several of them, I don't think you want to. Go ahead and confront that. Amen. But you've got to use Holy Spirit discernment in cases like that. Amen. But the witnessing comes with power.
Yeah.
And we can witness by God's power through the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's talking about there. He says, you're going to receive this power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you're saved, guess what you got? Got the power. Now, the question is, how much of the power does the Holy Spirit have over you? That's the question. But you have all the Spirit that you can ever get.
Yeah.
Not going to get any more of the Spirit. He is there.
Yes, sir, he is
waiting to have more control over you and I. Okay? And that's why we have to crucify the flesh. Yeah. So you're going to receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what is the result going to be? Ye shall be what?
Witnesses
unto me everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Now, whether we're a good witness or a bad witness remains to be seen.
Right.
But we will be a witness. That goes without saying. We will be a witness, okay? So that's chapter number 10. Let's go over to chapter number 11. And that's 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Grace for every need. By the way, these are transforming truths which can change your life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verses 7 through 10. By the way, how many have ever claimed this verse going through some hardships, physical hardships? I know I have. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me get somebody to read 7 through 10. Who's there? Can read that? Somebody, booming voice. All right, somebody wake up and read that. Okay. Go ahead, Sister Holmes. Amen. Now, I asked how many have claimed this before. This is easy to claim. It's hard to live.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's hard to live. Which part of that do we like to claim out of those verses 7 through 10? Which part of that do we like to claim? Which one? He gives us grace. We like that part. We like that part. My grace is sufficient. We'll quote that all the time. Verse number 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness most gladly. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I mean, like that part. You don't like that part. Amen. We say, Lord, can I just take the first half of that? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect. Can I just take that part? But then Paul said, now, wait a minute. I need the grace because of this second part. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. You know why oftentimes we don't glory in infirmities? Anybody want to take a wild guess why we don't glory in infirmities? We don't like them. We want the grace, but not for the infirmities. We want the grace to make it go away. And God said, it's not going to go away. I'm giving it to help you. Did he take away Paul's thorn in the flesh? No, he didn't take it away. He said, I'm giving you my grace to help you endure. We say, Lord, I'm just going to give me my parachute. Here we go. Abandon ship. I'm out of here. That's not what the grace is for, to jump ship. Amen. Ms. Dawson. Very painful. Painful. Amen. What do we rather God to give us? Pleasure. Amen. Absence of pain. Comfort. How about a lifeboat to escape this present ship?
Yes, sir.
Especially if it's the hardship. Where's the hardship at? It's over here. Oh, it's over there. Amen. Hey, give me another ship. I'm getting off of this one. This bus has got to go trade somewhere along the line. I'm changing buses. I'm changing trains. I'm changing ships. I'm changing planes. This plane is destined for pain. Amen. And so he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, Paul said, and that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. How many of y'all have ever said that before?
Yeah.
I don't recall one time ever saying, Lord, I take pleasure in this. Now, I remember saying, Lord, I know I should take pleasure in this. And I've said, Lord, I know I should count it all joy in divers temptations. I know I should. But Lord, right now, I just don't find it. I don't see the pleasure in this at all. And by the way, do we often see the pleasure in it? No, we don't. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. When I'm weak, then am I strong. And so Paul said, I had some problems and some issues, a thorn in the flesh, and God didn't take it away, but he did give me grace to endure it. And Paul says he gives me grace to endure everything that I go through. And so I can glory in these, because the more he gives me, the more I can glory, and the more strength and grace he gives me. And so he gives me more and more when I say, man, Lord, your grace is sufficient. And so grace for every need is going to be that chapter. There's going to be a chapter that we don't like. Go down to chapter number 12. Chapter 12 is the law of the harvest, Galatians 6, 7, 7 through 9. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. How many were here when I preached a series called the Universal and Unpardonable Law? And I preached Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9. And it was a series. And it's called the Universal and Unpardonable Law. It is a law. And it's called sowing and reaping. And you can't run from it. You can't run from it. I gave the illustration of how I broke a bunch of windows when I was a kid. And then when I got the church and the storefront, guess what happened? People threw bricks through the window. It's sowing and reaping. You get it back somewhere, somehow, sometime, some way, in some measure. And not only did someone break the windows there, But then they stabbed the tires on the van and flattened that. And you know what I said? But I only broke glass windows. I didn't put anybody's van. But you reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. You reap more than what you sow. So I only broke the windows. They broke the windows and trashed the van too. And I thought, well, that's not fair. Why isn't it? How many of y'all want to plant an apple seed and get only one apple? So God's not fair, huh? But that's what we say all the time. Well, God, I only did this and I got this. Well, that's what it is when you plant an apple tree.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's what it is.
You plant this, but you get this. All right. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Who can read that for me? Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do that. Ms. Watson? So we've got the good and the bad in that. Amen. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So what does that mean? Whatever I do, I'm going to get it back. Exactly. Is that just good or is that good and bad? Whatsoever is whatsoever. It's just like whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. Doesn't matter who they are. Whatsoever, whatever I do, I'm going to get it back. Have you ever wondered why some people are kind to you for no reason at all? And then some people are mean to you for no reason at all? It's possible that you kind of sowed that seed somewhere down the line and you're getting it back. It could be. Notice what he says down there. Verse number 7. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't get tricked. God is not going to be mocked. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. Amen. Notice that verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. So if you do something fleshly, it's going to have fleshly fruit. The guy that just committed this atrocity of shooting all these students in Texas. You think somewhere along the line there was something sown there? That now the fruit bloomed and came due? You say, well, preacher, what did he do? I don't know. But I know that people don't just wake up and shoot people. That's not normal. A seed had to be planted somewhere back here. And that seed had to be watered and fertilized. And that seed had to be groomed so that one day the fruit came from that tree. You don't just wake up one day and want to shoot somebody. It just doesn't work that way. God didn't make us that way. Now, sin will do that to us. But you've got to understand that somewhere along the line, something happened, and we have to be able to say to this family or this young man, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap that. Hey, parents that have children at home, we're going to do the same thing. You know, I try my hardest to make sure I kind of keep that in my mind that, hey, what I'm doing now is going to have repercussions later. Why? What I am doing now had been planted in my life years ago, good and bad. And my parents raised me in such a way where certain things are coming out that are good and certain things are coming out that are bad. No fault of their own. They did the best they could. But we just have to be careful with the sowing and the reaping process that if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap out of the flesh corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. We're going to reap those things that are eternal and spiritual. Verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. So he's encouraging us in that which is good. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what?
Faint.
Shall reap.
Reap.
If we faint not. Amen. Reap. By the way, will every action have a reaction of some sort? Yes. Maybe very, very minuscule. But every action will have a reaction. If I have the action, can I control someone else's reaction? But can I control the way they respond to me? No, once the action is there, I can't control somebody's reaction. And so I've got to be very, very cautious and careful. That's why I didn't do anything when that guy was blowing his light behind me. blowing his light, his horn, at the traffic light. When everything in me said, do something. And the Spirit of God said, he might have a gun.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, I'd like to go to heaven, but not with a hole in my head. No, that's not a good way to go. And so I had to refrain. The old man said, let me at him. Hit me at him. Let me put my boxing gloves. Let me at him. I'll tell him a thing or two. Remember back in the days? And I said, I'm trying to forget those days. And so I had to be calm. And my children said, he can't do that to us. Well, he can, and he just did. What are you going to do, Dad? Nothing. We're going to be spiritual about this. And of course, you know how the kids are. If it was me, if it was you guys, I'd be in bad shape. Josh said, when I get my car, somebody blow the horn at me. I say, oh, Lord, help us, help us. Hopefully, I'm planting some good seeds now. Amen. Don't do it. Amen. Refrain yourself, son. I said, I'm planting some good seeds here. You know? And I'm always talking about one of my relatives, and she was just the epitome of mean on the road. You try and pass her, she wouldn't let you pass. You know, if you're getting close, she'd speed up. You know, if you want to get in front of her, she wouldn't let you get in front of her. You blow the horn, she'd lay on hers. And I mean, she was, and we'd sit in the back like, this is fun. Yeah, she's really getting them. But yeah, we were kids at the time. You know, this was before road rage. And you could get away with it, amen. You know, and people would be at the stoplight like, can I get over in front of you? No, she hit the gas. And I thought, wow. I said, the kids, that's how you don't want to be. These days, people will shoot you over that kind of stuff.
They
amen.
Will.
So sowing and reaping, no matter if it's driving, no matter if it's a living, whatever it is, we are going to reap of the actions that we manifest. And so we've got to be very, very careful of that in Galatians chapter 6. And it is universal and it is unpardonable. There's nothing we can do. Once it's planted, it's planted. Amen. It's not like a real tree that you can root it up and take it out. It's not like that. This is spiritual and it's a principle there. And so the law of the harvest is 12. And then we go over to 13, the last one. And the last one is, of course, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Your path to God's guidance, lesson 13. So let's go over to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And Brother Neil, we successfully stayed in the New Testament until then. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And get somebody to read that. Brother Neil, you got that? Read that for me. Amen. How many of y'all have committed that one to memory at one time or another in your life? Amen. This is a very, very good verse to memorize as a young Christian early on. And then it's more important to practice that later on. Because there are going to be times in your life and in my life when we want to lean on our own understanding, and our understanding is not what we need to lean on. But it's so natural, and it's so common for us to want to do that. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So there's going to be times when we don't really know what to do. And God's saying, just lean on me. Trust me. Rely upon me. And everything in us is going to say, but Lord, I know better. Lord, I've been down this road before. Lord, I've done it the wrong way before, but now I know the right way. Everything in us is going to say, trust me. Trust myself. And oftentimes we can find ourselves doing wrong. And sometimes we do the right thing. We do what God wants us to do. But it's so easy, first of all, to fall on what we know. I give you a good illustration. I told you guys the other day, my garbage disposal got all clogged up. What's the first thing I thought? What was a natural thought? Call a plumber. That was the first thought that came to my mind. What should have came to my mind first? Those are all true. But what should I have done before that? Check it out first to find out who's going to fix it. Yes, but there's something else I should have did before that. Pray. As soon as it happened, I should have said, Lord, can you please open this thing up for me? Did it work for Moses at the Red Sea?
Yes, he did.
But you know what I thought? Plumber. You know what I thought second? Cost.
Cost, yeah.
You know what I thought three? Strangle the kids. Amen. Didn't I warn you guys not to do that? I said this and you. And I thought all those things. Then finally I thought, maybe I should just pray about this. After I went through all the other scenarios, and after I blamed the kids, who did this? Of course, everybody said, oh, I did it, Dad. No. Then the interrogation started. I know you're the always the one. You never tell. Who did it? If you guys don't fess up, you're going to pay for this plumber. Then it dawned on me, why don't you just pray? Why don't you just pray and ask God for guidance, see what you ought to do? And when I prayed, God helped me fix it.
Yes, He did.
Voila, saved $100. The kids said, no, we get our allowance back. But so often, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know it, but we neglect it. We don't trust the Lord because we think we know better. And oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble. So that's going to be the last chapter there, your path to God's guidance. Next week, we'll start into lesson number one, which is going to be total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. Total sacrifice equals total satisfaction. And we'll go look at Romans 12, 1 and dissect that out and kind of see what that is. I'm going to leave you with that memory verse, Hebrews 13, 1. And that one you should have committed to memory in times past, but if you have not, let me read it to you. Is it Hebrews? What did I say? Did we commit that one to memory already? Hebrews 13:1? Okay, so we can move on to another one then. All right. So scratch Hebrews 13:1 since we committed that one to memory. So the new verse is going to be, let me pull it up here, which we should have already done as well. Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. All right, we got that one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. That's going to be our memory verse. Amen. Everybody got that? Yes. Hebrews 13, or I'm sorry, Romans 12:1. I'm going to mark that as well, that we have that. All right. So we'll collect that one next week. So you can say that one to Brother Duffy. Next week, if you know it already, you can say it today, but that will be our memory verse, Romans 12 and verse 1. Amen. Well, hopefully you can take one of these verses that we looked at today, and perhaps you're going through something in your life. You can apply that to your life right away. There is a load of good on all of those verses, but whatever you're going through may be in one of those verses. So I'd encourage you to take your heart and see which one that you need right now. Apply that to your heart and work at that this week. I know there's several in there that I know I need to refresh myself on and work on, and it'll be a blessing to us. Let's go ahead and pray and trust the Lord for our refreshments. Father, thank you for the series that we're about to go into called Transforming Truths, Lord. They're life-changing passages that if we were to commit these to memory, and then if we practice them on a routine and regular basis, they can govern and guide our Christianity. And so, God, we just pray that you would use this passage, starting with Romans 12:1, to transform our lives, Lord, as we yield our bodies to you, a living sacrifice. We thank you, love you, bless the refreshments next door. And God, I pray that you give us a sweet time of communing together and fellowshipping, getting ready for worship service in the next hour. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.